Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, for presenting the Ira Kaufman podcast. BillCurryFord.com is the place to start celebrating the recovery. 0% APR for 84 months. Get all the details and deferred payments at Bill Curry Ford.
They're all looking for reasons why little Tommy left Foxborough. They can't believe it. They can't believe it, Lee. They're heartbroken. And the guy was standing next to me, and I hit the ball, and it went 135 yards, and the club went 80 yards right into the lake.
It is that time again, time for the king of Newport, Richie, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Uncle Ira, Mr. Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here. We are fired up. Nothing ever stops at JoeBucksFan.com. We got so much to talk to here in episode one of this week. And, of course, we got another one coming up later in the week. Sage, how are you?
Gentlemen, I'm a little crestfallen, to be honest. I'm a little crestfallen. And, no, it has nothing to do with Blaine Gabbert being the backup quarterback to Tom Brady. That's not it. This has been a tough couple of days, you know, the great ones, they can't live forever. You know, they're immortal, but they are mortal. The great little Richard passed our way over the weekend. Long, tall Sally, big influence on Beatles, Stones. He's on Lee DeCamper's song list somewhere in there. If you've ever seen the movie The Girl Can't Help It with a very vibrant Jane Mansfield, little Richard is singing the title track as she's traipsing through the neighborhood. It's a very dynamic opening. And then the great Jerry Stiller, Frank Costanza, one of the indelible characters, I think, in sitcom history. It's hard to believe he didn't come into like the season five of a 9-year run of Seinfeld. It seemed like he was there right from the start. But among his many classic moments, Lee, and you got to remember this, Steinbrenner has reason to believe that his son, George Costanza, played by Jason Alexander, has died. And he goes over to their house in Queens for a call of condolence. And Costanza's sitting there with his wife, George's mother, and George is sitting in it, and Steinbrenner sitting in a chair. And all of a sudden, Jerry Stiller looks at him and says, "Why the hell did you trade Jay Buhner? You don't know what the hell you're doing over here." I mean, that's classic television. The man's son supposedly just died. And he goes into a tirade about the Jay Buhner trade. That, gentlemen, you're not going to get that from these silly comedies that are out there today. So it's been a tough couple of days, boys. But, you know, I'm thinking about the 2020 Bucs season. I can't wait. I'm already getting excited.
Well, it's good to hear, Sage. It's like two out of three podcasts now that you've said you're crestfallen. Last time it was the Tribune memories.
Anniversary,
You're dragging us down, Ira. You're dragging us down. Tom Brady's in town. He's a legend. Gronk, come on.
Well, as you saw, I wrote a column, and I know, guys, I can just hear Buck Nation. Some guy already called me a Debbie Downer in the comments section, and it was about, you know, the flip side of this grand experiment. I mean, it's a hell of a grand experiment, you know, hiring a quarterback that's going to be 43 when the games begin, bringing in Gronkowski. You know, putting all your chips in, and your coach is only going to be there a couple of years. And, guys, all I'm trying to say is, with all the fanfare, everybody talks about this team and how they're going to win 11 games and 12 games and how it's Super Bowl or bust. And, guys, nothing's guaranteed. I mean, there's a flip side to this thing, and it may not work.
Oh, of course there's a flip side. I mean, I'm excited they got Brady here, and I haven't written this up yet, but NFL.com did a video about the success, if you want to call it that, of 43-year-old quarterbacks. It's grim, man. When they cite Vinny Testaverde as one of the top quarterbacks at the age of 43.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. You know, and there's no question Brady's one of the best quarterbacks that ever played. But as I have written time and again, Father Time's undefeated. He's undefeated. And I know he's got weapons that he didn't have weapons last year, but was that because he didn't have weapons? You know, we always think that a quarterback, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. And here is, you know, the everybody calls him goat. Doesn't look like a goat to me. I don't. Savvy Piscatelli looked like an animal, but Brady doesn't look like an animal to me. That's why he calls Savvy the GOAT.
Steve, just to reiterate, you know, to put my thoughts in context, I don't blame the Bucks for doing this. I don't blame them, and neither does Lee. When you're 12 years of irrelevance, you do what you got to do, and then there's a little desperation involved, and I understand it. It's already paid off from a financial standpoint, Steve, so I don't blame them for what I'm doing, but what they're doing. But, you know, I just think there's been too much euphoria, even among the networks. Come on, Steve.
Ira.
Euphoria's good.
I don't even know where to begin. I'm pulling my hair out. I don't even have much hair to start with, Ira. Grand experiment. This is Tom freaking Brady. Throw the age out the window. The guy hasn't missed a game in years. He played very well last year. He's just a free agent quarterback coming in on a 1 year shot. We'll see what happens. I don't think it's a grand experiment. In Indianapolis, they're not calling Philip Rivers a grand experiment. He's replacing an inferior quarterback. An inferior freaking quarterback. A grand experiment would be asking the quarterback, who is arguably the most prolific turnover-prone quarterback in history, to come back for another year and stop throwing picks. I mean, that would have been a grand experiment, Ira, to try to cut the guy from 30 down to something reasonable. This is a great quarterback coming in with great weapons, and he's just got to play pretty decent football, and I think they'll be all right. I don't see it like that at all, Ira.
Lee, did you know that after an 8-0 start, the Patriots lost five of their last nine games last year? Are you aware of that?
I'm not aware of that. Lee? No, I was not. And although that makes sense, because I know they were on a winning streak to start the season, but I wasn't aware that they went downhill like that, and I know Brady was looking pretty sharp early in the season, and the latter part of the season wasn't looking so sharp. And I don't know if that's because he didn't have any weapons anymore. I there's all kinds of variables that I don't know yet. What I don't know if disturbing is the right word. What's scaring me more than anything isn't Brady being 43 or Arians going to be 68, you know, middle of the season. What's scaring me is the NFL has basically come out and said, through a mouthpiece known as Adam Schefter, that the salary cap, we never would have thought this ever would happen in our lifetime. The salary cap is going to go down and way down next year because of this virus stuff. You know, there's no revenue. And Steve and I have kind of spoken about this, you know, off the podcast, you know, without you around, Ira, not that we're hiding anything, but just between amongst ourselves in different conversations, Steve and I have kind of bounced this around. And when I saw Schefter's tweet, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, that the salary cap could be shaved by anywhere from like 20 to 80 million. Whoa. And then, you know, the Bucks, they're right through the cap as it is without re-signing Godwin. It doesn't look like a 2-year shot. It looks like a one or done shot to me if the salary cap goes down. And like Steve told me in our conversation, who's to say that the, you know, NFLPA might work out something with the NFL. Say, hey, we know these are weird times. You give us something, we'll allow a break in the salary cap or something. They'll maneuver something behind the scenes.
I understand what you're saying, Lee, but 80 million sounds like a crazy number, Steve. That's 40% of the cap. I mean, that can't happen. Every team would be severely impacted by that, not just the Bucks. And Steve, look at the Chiefs. They're talking about Mahomes may sign for $50 million when they end up signing Mahomes. I mean, he's going to set the new standard at quarterback.
Just the mathematics on it here is we've read many times that just about 20% of the league's revenue comes from stadium-related revenue, and the rest is television. So if they lost all the stadium-related revenue, that would drop the salary cap about $40 million per team. But the scuttlebutt is that the league and the might be willing to borrow against future caps, and with the approval of the union, you know, sort of balance it out so things don't get crazy and guys start getting cut left and right. But it is a reality. If they see serious lost revenue, it's going to come out somewhere. So it is something to think about. Let's put it this way. The cap isn't going up next year.
All right. But, Steve, at the same time, in the next few years, TV contracts will have to be renegotiated, and those are not going to go down, certainly. That's only going to go up.
Yeah, you would think. But the point to add to the urgency, I think, is what Lee's talking about. And I just wanted to add, Ira, that Father Time, you know what? He is defeated. Nobody's tracked down the sage yet. That's the bottom line. You've been doing this 93 years. You're fantastic. No one's Father Time lost. You beat him.
I've got strong protection up front. You boys block out all the naysayers. You keep me upright. You know, I'm one sack away from from retirement. So far, it hasn't happened, gentlemen.
All right, Ira, as fans heard to open the podcast, it is presented and all of your work by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. 0% financing for 72 months on 2020 vehicles. Fantastic offers by Ford with deferred payments. If you want to, you don't have to make a payment until 2021. General Manager Sean Sullivan, our friend, has it all set up. It is just a fantastic family-owned dealership. Great time to get repairs, tires for the summer rainy season. And, of course, it's hanging on. It won't be much longer, but the 2019s are available for 0%, 84 months for 7 years. Bill Curry Ford, we are all three of us Bill Curry Ford customers. We're excited to get out there soon again for some podcasting and to check out the new Big Storm Cafe, where you'll actually be able to have dinner, have lunch at Bill Curry Ford. What a great marriage of two fantastic companies. Sage, I know you love your 2020 Ford Escape Cherry Red. You've told us now. You've got the magic little kick that you do. So the sensor picks it up and opens up your trunk. You got room for your golf clubs. You like your bun warmers. You got everything going on in there.
I do. And Steve, I got a quick Big Storm story for you. I got a quick one. True story. Last week, I was having some trouble with my pool pump. You know, you got to clean the filter. And when you put it back on, there's a ring. And you got to make it a tight connection. Otherwise, when you put it back on, the water is going to overflow the tank. And you can't have that. So I was struggling with this O-ring and trying to get it tight. And I couldn't do it. And there's a guy across the street. You know, he's sort of a mechanic type, burly, like the Kemper, strong, upper torso. So I said, "Hey Eddie, can I borrow you for a minute?" He came over, he leaned into it, he put all his weight behind it, he got it tight. I flicked the switch on, and the pump went on, and there was no overflow, and I knew everything was good. You know, hey, I got to thank the guy. I went in the house and got out a Tropic Pressure, nice and cold from the fridge, and brought it out to him. And he took it home. I see him the next day. "Hey, how'd you like the Big Storm beer?" He goes, "It was fantastic. You need any more work done, Ira?" He was ready to come over again. So big ups to Big Storm. And now they are open for business. Inside, outside, great food. The Reuben is fantastic. I can't wait to get in there, Steve, and try the rest of that menu.
Well, it's good to hear, Ira. I'm glad. Have you finished off the key lime shandy yet? Is your wife mowed that down?
Those were gone within 3 days. 3 days. Three-day maximum. Cosmo loved it. You know, put a little in his food bowl. You know, mulched everything around with a little shandy. Put Cosmo right to sleep. Instead of going crazy and running circles around the house, he conked out quickly. I may have to try that in the future. It's a way to calm him down, Steve.
All right, everybody. Ira is kidding, of course. He doesn't give his young little puppy alcohol. I don't need 700 emails tomorrow. Don't do that.
Just a joke, people.
Beer is gone. It is Big Storm beer. You can go to joebucksfan.com, click on any of the Big Storm ads there. That'll take you to the Storm Tracker, let you know where to find it. Or go to bigstormbrewery.com. Their tap rooms in Odessa and in Clearwater serve food, deliver food, pick up. They've got hand sanitizer that they make themselves that's still available. And, of course, Ira's going to be there for watch parties during the football season when we figure out exactly when and where. And, of course, hopefully all the restaurants and bars are back open to 100%. Sage, Derek Brooks said something very interesting on his video with you on the Tampa 2 with the Identity Tampa Bay that's seen at joebucksfan.com. I thought this was stunning for Brooks. Stunning. Because he doesn't say this kind of stuff. Derek Brooks said that the NFL, they kind of bent the rules and did a, quote, make good for the 2019 schedule that they gave to the Bucks, where they had to fly all over town, all over the world. Essentially, Brooks said, they made a make good with this year's schedule. What do you make of that?
That was a shocker. I mean, you're right, Steve. You pick up on these things very adroitly. Look, guys, in some ways, Derek Brooks is an NFL employee. Now, he's not employed by the Bucks per se, but he does hear cases on appeal. There's a couple of guys that hear him, and he's one of them. So during the regular season, he's very involved in the National Football League, a quasi-employee. You know, he knows what goes on behind the scenes. Just like he and Rondé Barber know what goes on behind the scenes at One Buck, in large part. especially Ronde now. He's very familiar with the machinations of the Park Avenue office and the honchos that do things over there. So there's two parts to it. One, he's admitting that the Bucks got hosed last year, which I think we all feel that way. Certainly Bruce Arians felt that way before the year and after the season was over. And two, and Lee, here's the bigger point by Brooks. He thinks the Bucks schedule is very, very beneficial, very, very positive, will help them do great things this year, likes a lot of things about it, no cold weather games. The December schedule looks very inviting. Brooks thinks the schedule makers did the Bucks a big favor this year.
Well, it sure looks that way, and I think we can sum it up in two words. Why? Joe Reedy, you probably know Joe Reedy, Ira. He was like Mr. Bengals reporter forever, and, well, he's working for the AP now. And he did a story over the weekend about how Brady signing with the Bucks just created all this chaos with all the schedule makers. Schedule was, you know, pretty close to being finalized. All of a sudden, the Bucks signed Brady, and they had to scramble like madmen to make sure that he was on primetime. Because TV networks, they want Brady. They want Brady. And so all of a sudden, the Bucks went from the usual, you might get a game on Thursday night, to, oh, my gosh, we got to get these guys on every night we can.
You know what it reminds me of, guys? And it's something that's going on right now on ESPN. It's a 10-part series, and God knows if you're doing a 10-part series on one guy in particular or one team in particular, it better be one hell of a player or team. And it's this Michael Jordan documentary. I missed the first few episodes, but it is very well done, and I've been watching them. They show them on the weekends. Tell me if I'm wrong, Steve. I know you made this point about this is not the grand experiment. This is the great quarterback, the great Tom Brady. I can't put him on the Michael Jordan level. I don't think he's there, but he ain't far off. You know what Jordan Mania was like, and in terms of what Lee's saying about the networks. You got to have Jordan. You got to have Jordan every week. Christmas Day, you got to have Jordan. And, you know, it was like in the old days, you used to have Bill Russell and Chamberlain in the 60s. That's all anybody wanted to watch. The Brady effect is pretty darn close to it, Steve. I dare say, and tell me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, without Brady, with Winston under center, for 2020, the Bucks get their usual one primetime game only because it's mandatory. I got no reason to think they would have got more than one, Steve.
Yeah, one, maybe two at the most, and that might have been more about the opponent rather than
right,
the Buccaneers
right.
themselves. It's very hard. It's really impossible to compare Brady and Jordan, two different sports. If you've been watching the series, Ira, you watch that and you realize the grand power of Jordan's leadership and how much the leadership mattered. But leadership matters a lot more on a 12-man roster where only nine guys are really playing. It's a lot different when one guy's trying to influence 53. It's very, very different. So, I don't know. I mean, you can't really put them on the same plane. But I know what you're saying. I mean, it's the star power. We've talked about it before, and we're going to see what it really means here. Yeah, I just thought the Brooks thing was kind of interesting with him actually, you know, knowing how close to the vest he plays things. I mean, I didn't write it up yet for the website, but gosh, Brooks was basically saying the NFL, they called the Glazers and said, we're going to hook you up, guys. You know, which
I will throw, now guys, I will throw this note of caution in, and I would not want this. The five primetime games, guys, it's within a 7-week span. I mean, Lee, that's very condensed. If you can get through that kind of gauntlet, you can breathe because December doesn't look overly arduous. But week five primetime games in 7 weeks, that's brutal.
Well, the Sunday night games, that shouldn't be any issue at all. So you get back to Tampa. Well, the Vegas is a road game. Now, they have one home game, Sunday night game, right?
I think that's right, yes.
Yeah, the Saints.
So they get back from Vegas 8 hours later. You know, well, we all know what that's like getting back from Vegas. Those guys aren't going there to party. They're going there to work. So I see what you mean about the Monday night game and the Thursday night game, but the Sunday night games, those shouldn't be any big deal. You know, you gotta change your week around. Let's say they get the Monday off instead of the usual Tuesday off. You know, you adjust.
But having said that, I want to remind the Buck fans off two Monday night games. They will be playing the Saints the following week, and they will be playing the Chiefs the following week. One of those games is a Sunday night game, I guess. The point is, both games are coming off Monday night football. That's a fact.
Well, two points to make, Sage. First, Danny Cannell, who obviously was not a superstar quarterback, but he played 7 years in the league. He had a very interesting take on the Buccaneers because of that condensed primetime schedule within 7 weeks, five games. He said it allows the team to establish what he called a new normal, because he said the problem with those night games is that as a team, you don't really know what to do with yourself because you're waiting all day. You're used to getting up early and you're waiting and you're right. Just sort of out of sync, and the week is out of sync. But he said if you can do some back-to-back-to-backs like the Bucs got, then all of a sudden you're really used to it and you're not having this sort of learning curve for your body and your mind.
You develop a rhythm, Steve, a rhythm.
He said 5 out of 7 is much better than having, you know, sprinkled throughout the year. And, you know, right. He obviously spent a lot of time observing other players, so I give him legitimate there. And I just wanted to mention, Lee mentioned the partying in Vegas. You know what? The Vegas Knights, the hockey team, they had a massive home field advantage because it was sort of understood the teams were going there and they were partying. You know, they're getting the hookers.
Oh, that's right. It's the Knights, what they call it, the Vegas hangover?
Yeah. And they had a tremendous home record when they first started. And bottom line is, if you think all these Buccaneers are not going to be having all kinds of wild hookers to their rooms, I don't buy it. I mean, that's just there's going to be a percentage of them who are going to take in Vegas, just like any team. It's not the Bucs. I just think there's going to be.
Are you suggesting, Steve, they're not choir boys? Not everybody in that locker room is a choir boy. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Absolutely, Ira. You know that. Come on.
You know, I forgot all about that. Steve's absolutely right. I remember reading that story because Vegas, you know, the Knights had such a fantastic home record the year, you know, their original year, their inaugural year when they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. And somebody was doing research and they showed that the visiting teams, most of the visiting teams came in the night before the game. And yes. So they had a whole night out on the town, and he did even further research. These guys just, you know, came to the third period, and the Knights owned the third period because these guys were all hung over and shot from no sleep. And, you know, by the time their period comes on, they're gassed, man. And I thought that was pretty funny. Steve's that I completely and totally forgot about that. But Steve's right. There may be an issue there.
Well, Chucky that could create quite an advantage for Chucky's boys, Steve.
Could. Yeah, and that's not just the Bucs. It'd be every visiting team. But you know what? As far as all the primetime games in a short window, Brady's used to this. Gronkowski's used to this. Sue's used to this. Ryan Jensen's used to this. JPP's used to this. Pardon the pun. I'm not going to lose a whole lot of sleep over it.
By the way, have we mentioned Mike Glennon got another contract, Steve? I mean, you know, we said years ago, and we weren't kidding, the guy's going to have a 12-year career. I mean, I think it's going to happen. You know, the backup quarterbacks, I mean, they keep getting jobs, Steve.
Well, this is year number 8 for Glennon. He signs with the Jaguars for a small contract. And you know what? If Minshew moves around a lot, he takes a lot of hits. And he was incredibly successful last year when he was on the field. But, you know, the odds of Glennon playing out there are pretty high. So for a team that sort of looks like it's half tanking, that's a good move.
He's a really good kid. Lee, you've been around him. Steve, you've been around him.
Yeah, he's a guy. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he's a guy you root for. He's a guy you root for.
Well, he's not a starting NFL quarterback, but he's a good guy. And, you know, I'm glad he's gaming the system, and, you know, he's going to be a wealthy man as a result. Props to him.
Yeah, I mean, he's already got crazy money from the Bears.
Bears.
And let me remind everybody, it was Jason Light and his infinite genius who wouldn't trade Mike Glennon when supposedly he had a pick available 2 years in a row. And Light himself wanted to make Glennon the highest paid backup in the game, but Glennon wouldn't take the money and he went to the Bears. So I don't know. Never understood that, but we'll move on from the Glennon mania. Sage, Mike Evans finally broke his silence in a weird way. I don't know if you saw the Twitter video, but Lee wrote it up. Basically, Evans was gushing about how Brady is a franchise changer and that he's just so smart and so knowledgeable that you know, he's just a super next level quarterback. And Evans also emphasized that he wanted Jameis to return. And but that didn't happen. So, you know, any thoughts on Evans finally breaking his silence?
I think Evans is genuinely excited about Brady's arrival for one reason and one reason only. And it's a hell of a reason. You're going to win. You're going to win. And here you got Winston 10, 12 games under 500 after five NFL seasons. A lot of factors involved, but the numbers are the numbers. Brady, if he wins, if he goes 10 and 6, you know, he says to himself, I had a terrible season. So that's what Evans means by being excited. But here's the other side of it. In terms of Evans's individual numbers, and he is on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and he's probably halfway home. I mean, if the guy, you know, plays 10, 12 years and puts up these numbers, you got to put him in Canton. Case closed. And his numbers are not going to go up this season, Lee. I don't think they're going to go up. In terms of being a deep threat, he had no problem with Jameis Winston under center. Neither did Chris Godwin. So I don't think those guys, I don't think you're going to see a bump in their numbers, which is fine because their numbers were Pro Bowl numbers. I'm sticking with Cameron Brate's numbers going up. Gronkowski's going to take some catches. Tyler Johnson's going to take some catches. The running backs will take some catches. But Evans is excited, Lee, because he sees a winner coming to town, and that's what it's about.
Could Evans' yak go up?
I don't think so. I think he averaged 17 and a half yards, and that's a big number. I don't think that's going up, no.
Okay, because usually he's, you know, he's down in totem pole when it comes to yak. And I think,
well, after maybe yak, but yards per catch, he had a very, very healthy number last year.
Oh, yeah,
very
I agree with you about yards per catch. I was just thinking yak because the people that absolutely despised the previous quarterback, they always said, well, Evans couldn't get yak because he had to catch these crazy passes from Jameis.
Well, there might be something to be said about getting the ball in rhythm and more in time. There might be something a bit. I just don't think Evans is exceptional in that one slight area of expertise. He's never been exceptional about it.
And by the way, to me, I've heard people, you know, knock him for that. I just think that's absolute nitpicking. That's nitpicking to the nth degree. He's putting up Hall of Fame numbers. He's the best receiver this franchise has ever had. Looking for things to complain about. And I don't discount what you're saying. That, you know, the yards, you know, probably maxed out because Grady's not a long ball thrower like James. Could it be one reason, and I'm a cynical person, could it be one reason the Bucs didn't redo a deal or extend Godwin? Outside of the obvious, which is the salary cap, is that they expect Godwin's numbers to go down slightly. Therefore, his price tag won't be as expensive.
I don't think Godwin's numbers will go down markedly. I think he's still going to get 8 or 9 touchdowns, maybe 10 with Brady. But Gronkowski will take some of those red zone touchdowns away from Evans and Godwin. I'm of the opinion, Lee and Steve, people love Godwin in that organization. Absolutely love Godwin. He ain't getting away. There's no chance. He represents everything that Jason Light's looking for in a player in terms of his want to, his preparation. He's right there with Mike Evans. I mean, I think you could argue he had a better year than Evans, and I wouldn't fight that. That's how good this kid is, and he's getting better every year. He's going nowhere, Steve, nowhere.
Yeah, it's hard to say what the numbers look like, and it always depends on injuries and Brady's preferences, really. And we don't even know yet if we have a running back out of the backfield, so that could change the whole animal. You know, who knows? Maybe they'll actually be able to run the ball effectively. And that brings me to, Ira, a quick reminder that Bill Curry Ford is always running the ball, always on the ball, and BillCurryFord.com is the website, BillCurryFord.com. Curry Cares is their in-house insurance agency for auto insurance. I'm a customer. And, of course, they do everything at Bill Curry Ford with the great rates we talk about all the time on everything they do. BillCurryFord.com. Sage Arians was on Arizona radio last week, did a long, extensive interview, and one of the things that came up was from host Ron Wolfley, who's a former fullback for the St. Louis Cardinals and then the Arizona Cardinals. And Wolfley,
did he play for Arians, Steve?
No. Wolfley's like
way before that.
He's like 60 years old or so, in that ballpark.
Okay.
Anyway, he talked to Arians about the quote "bash and bomb" offense, and they're clearly close friends. I've heard him on with Arians before, and he wanted to know, does he really want to get back to that with Tom Brady and all those weapons? And because a lot of people don't realize, back in 2015, when the Cardinals were at the top of the NFL, they were number one in the NFL in rushing touchdowns, number three in attempts, to number two in rushing yards. They were a pound the ball team, and they also got the big plays. And Arian's answer was, yeah, quote, more so than ever does he want to get back to pounding the rock. Because, and he also added that because he believes that Brady will do all those checks, the line of scrimmage that Jameis didn't do, and get the Bucs into the right runs, and that he's also an excellent play-action quarterback if he gets the chance to do it. So what do you make of that, that Arians really wants to get back to pounding the football?
I can't get too excited, guys, because I've heard it from Buck coaches for the last 4 years. We're going to do a job on the ground game. The ground game's got to improve. We got to do better. We're not getting the production. And then nothing happens, guys. Nothing happens. They go out and they average 3.6, 3.7, plotting. They don't break anything. You know, they're lucky if they get one 40-yard run in 16 weeks. And, Steve, I can't remember if David Johnson was on that 15 team or he might have come the year later. I can't remember.
He was there.
He was there. Okay, well, when you got David Johnson, who the Bucs do not have, Mr. DeKemper. They do not.
No.
Although I just saw you write up somebody talking about this guy Vaughn, and I thought I was reading about Adrian Peterson coming out of college. I mean, look, I want the kid to do well. But,
yeah,
guys, before the draft, I never heard anybody talking about this kid. I mean, I really did. I really
same.
Did.
Same.
Yeah, you know, and now all of a sudden he's a great pass catcher and he's this and that. I watched the films, and it looked like he's got a lot of, you know, straight-ahead speed and burst. But I don't see him making people miss, so we shall see. We shall see. So, Steve, in regards to your question, you know, they want to pound the rock, and then I understand it. New England had some very good running attacks under Brady. Not every year, but quite a few, with a variety of running backs. You know, we all remember what when that ex-Bengal guy, supposed to be a tough guy, and he signs with Belichick, and the guy's an animal for two or 3 years.
I know you're talking about Corey Dillon. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, Corey Dillon is right. Over the years, Brady has had an effective, and he's very good at play action, and that's one thing you got to give Winston. He did not have the benefit of an effective play action. Not because he didn't do it well and carry it off well, but nobody respected the ground game. I mean, they just didn't. Things might change this year. I'm still not convinced, guys. I am not convinced that the Bucs are not adding another running back, you know, in the late cuts. I'm not convinced that this is the backfield for 2020.
All right, Ira, let me run this one by you quick. We'll hit on a few more here, Sage. I'll save the funny one for later. We'll go with the something a little more traditional here. Antoine Winfield Jr., second round pick, was on the radio the other day, and he said,
"Does any Buccaneer ever turn down a radio show? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Of course,
I've never
Ira.
Seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like this. Arians is on. He's going to be on Radio Free Korea next week. I mean, what's going on over
cool.
there?
Cool. We'll monitor that."
Winfield said, Ira, that he is being trained as a free safety. That's the only thing he's working on. No nickel.
He's being trained. He hasn't been on a field yet, Mr. Isbitz.
That's the position he's learning. Don't play semantics with me, Ira. Come on.
If they don't use him at slot corner, I'm buying you a case like that. At least trying him out over there. Guys, this is a franchise that tried MJ Stewart at slot corner. They won't try Antoine Winfield. I think it's a perfect spot for him. Now, I'm not saying that's all he's going to play. I'm not saying that. Yeah, there's a safety spot open for him, especially if Evans, can't overcome these myriad injuries that are really undermining a once promising career. There's spots in safety, but I think when the Bucs drafted him, they really had in mind that he could excel at the nickel. And don't forget, Lee, I believe he's got some blitzing skills that he showed off a little bit in college, and of course, Devin White did that too, and he wasn't much of a factor, despite everybody talking all offseason about how Todd Bowles is going to turn Devin White loose on the pass rush. We didn't see it. We didn't see much of it.
Well, I think they saw enough of him, his inability to do that, and they're like, well, we're not going to waste a play and set up a six-point bomb by the quarterback since White can't blitz. So it's not to say he won't be able to blitz in the future. I know people are very thin-skinned about Devin White, you know, especially if it's coming from me. But he couldn't blitz last year. At least up the middle, he sure couldn't blitz.
I don't have a lot of doubt that Wentz is going to be a good player for the Bucs, and it would shock me if he's not on the field 70 or 80% of the time. I'd be very surprised.
All right, Sage, look, Pro Football Focus did an analysis of kicking, and they came to a very interesting conclusion over the last 6 years. Lee, what was that about?
Well, basically, looked at the Bucs last 6 years or so, and they've come to the conclusion that the Bucs simply cannot evaluate or find a kicker. And the kicking is so bad, and their passing weapons are so good, and at the past 5 years, they've led the league in percentage of third and fourth downs converted. And yes, that's even with that terrible quarterback that was behind center the last 5 years. They said just quit farting around and just go for it in field goal range on third and fourth down. You got the weapons, you got the quarterback, and they reasoned that even with Gronkowski coming in, that makes them all the more dangerous to convert third and fourth downs. Just the field goals are costing you more games than they should be. Just give it up. Just give it up and go for third and fourth down. Just go full-blown Mike Tomlin.
My first takeaway, Steve, is I don't need Pro Football Focus to tell me that Buck kicker since Matt Bryan ain't been worth a darn. I don't need Pro Football Focus for that. Every Buck fan can second that. They got their hand up right now. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. We've been through all of them, you know, from Cotton Zaro to Pat Murray, Connor Bart, and Aguayo, of course. You name it, Folk. There's too many to mention, see? I mean, it's like a rogues gallery.
They should have
Giants that got the virus, not the infection.
The staff infection, the MRSA.
You got the MRSA.
Oh, yeah, don't forget Lawrence Fiennes. Yeah, don't forget Lawrence Fiennes.
Don't you think they should have like a reunion luncheon, invite fans out with the discarded kickers? I think that would be great. They could raise some money for charity, you know, see who can make a field goal, have a little kicking contest. I think it would be great.
Well, if they do it at Big Storm, I might show up, Steve. Yeah, you know. But
yeah, they're going here, right up your alley, Ira.
You know, but here's my bigger point. You know what it goes to? The Bucs don't do the little things well. They don't do the little things well.
They don't do the big things well, Ira.
Well, they get a lot of yards. They gain a lot of yards. They've been doing that pretty successfully the last few years. They don't always turn it into points, although they were better in the red zone last year, better in third down last year, and still finish with a below 500 record. Too many penalties, guys. They're not disciplined. The kicking game stinks. The return game is nil. The punter is okay. They got to do better. The Saints are exemplary on special teams. It's a big advantage for them. And, you know, the Bucs got a lot of ground to make up on the division champs. So, guys, I want a real kicking competition, legitimate. And, I want Gay looking over his shoulder a little bit. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Ira, you talked about a kicker's reunion for the Bucs and post-Matt Bryant. And this is right up your alley. If they had a golf outing, they would have to clear the gallery when these guys got to the tee box. Because it'd be like when President Ford went up to these golf matches, and he was always slamming the ball right into the gallery, someone would get drilled in a jaw or something. That'd be the same way with these kickers.
You know what that reminds me, guys? This is a true story, and I hope this guy's not listening to the podcast, but he might be.
Is this about when you dated Betty Ford, Ira?
Now, it's another Nick Puglisi story. Now, Nick Puglisi is the guy that told me that I couldn't pick the Bucks to beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl, and everybody remembers that story. He's now in West Palm Beach. I think he's the sports editor of the Palm Beach Post. But there used to be a thing called the McEwen Cup, and it was a golf outing every year, and McEwen would host it, and it would be at West Chase or somewhere, and all the trip guys would do it, and it would be a free day of golf and camaraderie. Anyway, there was an elevated tee box. It might have been the very first one at number one. And, Steve, I'm not making this up. It was an elevated tee box. Puglisi approached the ball, put it on the tee, and swung, missed the whole ball, turned himself into a corkscrew, and toppled off the tee box down 10 feet into the ground below. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It tops anything I've done on a golf course. And I'm a guy that once drove a golf cart on the green. On the green, gentlemen. And I've been banned from that one. So I got plenty of stories of my own. I killed a sand crane at Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club once with a screaming line drive off. You know, I was playing with Roy. And Roy says, Ira, you got to keep your head down. You're picking your head up off the tee with your driver. So I made it a point. And I watched the ball and I focused, and what I didn't notice was a sand crane was walking, you know, 20 yards past the tee box. Well, I got my head down. Roy says, focus. Well, I focused. I hit a low screamer and it hit the sand crane in the throat, right in the throat. it was a rising line drive and the thing collapsed and I tried to stand it back up and I couldn't do it. We had to go tell
Wait a minute, tried to stand it back up? What does that mean?
Well, I thought it was a glancing blow, but it wasn't. We got the course superintendent, and he came running over and said, oh, my God, I've never seen anything like it. What happened? And I said, it cost me 50 yards off the tee. It cost me 50 yards. I mean, you can't make up a line like that, gentlemen. I mean, it would have been a 250-yard drive. It would have been the greatest drive of my life. But no, here comes that sand crane. I felt awful. I felt absolutely terrible. You know, Roy says, hey, should we go home? Should we call it a day? I said, are you kidding? I'm in the middle of the fairway. Now, guys, I'm in one of those moods. What can I tell you?
Oh, you and Randy Johnson.
Isbets, I said I was the middle of the fairway. I thought that would crack you up a little bit.
I don't even know what to say.
I don't know what that is.
You're a murderer.
I don't know what.
Between that story and putting beer in the dog's water bowl, what are people going to think about me, gentlemen?
Well, what haughty organization banned you from their premises?
I am banned. Oh yeah, that was Fox Hollow. That was Fox Hollow because
you're banned from that place.
That's when I used the guy's brand new 8-iron and the driving range looks out onto a lake, and it was a hot August day and I didn't have any gloves on, and I brought out a rusty 8-iron and he goes, you can't use that, use mine. He gives me his and I
know where this is going.
And the guy was standing next to me and I hit the ball and it went 135 yards and the club went 80 yards right into the lake.
Oh, my gosh, Ira.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not finished. He stood there, and he reached. His eyes kept going forward. He reached his hand into his right pocket. He took out his cell phone. He pressed a button. He never looked down. His eyes kept looking out towards the lake. He pressed a button, which rang the phone at the front desk of the pro shop, and the guy, Jimmy, answered, and this guy's name was Hal, and Hal said to Jimmy, Jimmy, I ain't never seen anything like it. Never. Guy been in the business 25 years. That club is still in the middle of Fox Hollow Lake. You need scuba gear to get it, gentlemen. You can't make this stuff up.
You can't make it up. It stands on its own. It doesn't need any commentary. Ira, Ronde Barber once said, quote, best movement I have ever seen at safety. Who was he talking about when he said that back in 2015, Ira? Little trivia question for you. Best movement I have ever seen at safety, describing a player and his technique.
I assume he was talking about Ed Reed, gentlemen. That's what I assume.
He was talking about Chris Conte. So with that in the backdrop,
Oh, my.
I was saving this for a little while, and I wrote it up the other day. But Ronde went into great detail. Great detail.
You said that with a straight face, Steve. Straight face. You said it. Unbelievable.
Ronde went into great detail a few months ago, explaining in detail, Ira, that Shaq Barrett is a more talented pass rusher than Simeon Rice. What's your thought on that?
Well, my first thought is I better talk to Ronde and tell him to stop doing interviews. That's number one. Look, Shaq Barrett, I agree with Rondé on one point, guys. I don't think he's a one-year wonder. I don't. He slowed down for two or three games after, you know, what I called the greatest, and I think it's true. I think it's the greatest opening month by a defensive player in NFL history. Now, that is a strong statement. It's 100 years of football, and I wasn't there in 1927 to see the Canton Bulldogs. But can you do more than 9 sacks in the first 4 games and, like, 3 forced fumbles? Can you? 9 sacks, a quarter of the season. You know, then there was a little bit of a lull because he was getting double-teamed, and there's no JPP. And so JPP came back. It's a long way of me saying I think he's going to get another 12 or 13 sacks this year. 19's a reach. But what I think his greatness is making himself small going around the edge. And that's hard to do and to keep your quickness while you're doing it. That doesn't give the tackle a big target to try to block. So he sort of disappears around that edge. But Simeon Rice, guys, you've heard it. A lot of Buck fans are mad at me for the fact that Simeon doesn't have a bust in Canton. Guys, I'm doing my best. I can't even get him in a room. I can't make a speech about the guy. Same with Rondé, by the way. I'm not putting Shaq Barrett and Simeon Rice in the same sentence until Barrett proves that he's not a one-year wonder. Rice was a world-class pass rusher. Wasn't great against the run. Wasn't as bad as people think. He was famous for the sack strip. He came up big in big games. He could have been the Super Bowl MVP if they would have waited until the middle of the third quarter to vote instead of the 5 minutes into the second quarter. And nobody was going to beat Dexter Jackson at that point. So I got a lot of respect for Simeon Rice. And Rondé, I know you're trying to be provocative, but I can't go there on Shaq Barrett. I'm certainly, gentlemen, not going there on Chris Conte.
Well, that's what made it so much fun, is that I don't think Rondé was trying to be provocative. He gave a lot of detailed answer, and he believes it. So it's fascinating what's going on at One Buck. Lee, any last thoughts? Otherwise, we'll send the sage out of here with his words of wisdom for the Bucks fans for this week.
Well, real quick, Ira, over the weekend, your old buddy Gary Myers, who's been an NFL reporter forever,
yep,
and he throws his weight around with the Hall of Fame committee, if I remember correctly, he put out something on Twitter, and I'll read it to you verbatim. Hard to present an order of why Tom Brady didn't want to return to the Patriots. But one thing has been very much overlooked, according to an excellent source, his deteriorating relationship with offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. Tom was worn out by Josh after all these years. That surprised me. And, of course, I wrote up something about this, and I guess this is getting a lot of run up in Boston. Apparently, MassLive.com has Brady's response, and Brady's not too happy about it. He says that's baloney. Brady did put out an Instagram story. I didn't see it yet, but they're quoting it, this MassLive.com. Brady says, "Please stop this nonsense!" Exclamation point. Please be more responsible with reporting.
Well, I'll say this. The fact that Brady disputes it does not mean in and of itself, guys, that the report's not true. Now, having said that, I don't believe the report. I think it is nonsense. You know my theory. It's very simple. He did not feel and still does not feel appreciated by Belichick in recent years. He just doesn't. And I believe he was responsible for this quote last year. I've already mentioned on this podcast that they started 8-0. Steve, didn't he say something like, "I'm the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the NFL"? I think he said something like that in the middle of last season. That should have sent shockwaves to Patriot Nation right then and there.
Yeah, I heard Al Michaels explain that. Michaels says it got taken a little bit out of context because I believe it was said to Michaels in some sort of interview. I don't remember exactly, but
what did Michaels think he meant by it?
Michaels meant to say sort of that Brady was. Yes, he said it, and it revealed his lack of satisfaction in being undefeated. But he also was sort of angling by saying that, "Hey, you know, I'm never satisfied," kind of thing. So I ain't no, but I'm unhappy, and because that's my nature.
I just think there was a rift between, and it had been growing over the years, and it's not unusual, and I don't think there's any one person to blame, but between him and Belichick, it grew over the years, and it reached a peak last season. And I still think I find it fascinating that through all the speculation that Brady was going to leave the Patriots, Belichick never went out of his way to say that he wanted him back. He just never did it. And I don't think he forgot. So I think Belichick's looking forward to this challenge with Stidham. I also don't think it's crazy to think that the Patriots are going to win 10 games this season. I mean, this is Bill Belichick. This is not the Belichick of Cleveland. He's learned his craft. and he's got enough defense, you know, and a really good defense to keep him in a lot of games, and he'll find a way. So I'm not buying the McDaniels angle, Lee. I think that's reaching. They're all looking for reasons why little Tommy left Foxborough. They can't believe it. They can't believe it, Lee. They're heartbroken. You know, some of these writers, they've had it good for two decades, and now they see maybe the Patriots fall from grace, and they don't like it. So they're leaving no stone unturned, but I think this stone should have remained turned.
I'll wager with you anytime you want that I'll say the Patriots don't have a winning record this year. If you want to take that bet, I'm ready for you anytime.
Wow. All right. We're going to talk about this on our second podcast of this week. We're going to firm up that bet. We may bet lunch at Big Storm, or we bet another Ford Escape. You never know. But we go for big-time wages over here on this broadcast. And until next time, I'm checking out, baby.